Hello and welcome to the Soccer History USA podcast. On today's episode, Spanish soccer in New York City. During the second half of the 19th century and into the 20th, millions of people from all around the world came to the United States. They often settled in large urban areas or cities where they could find communities of people who shared their linguistic and cultural heritage. And these populations often struggled with how they could both retain traditional social identities and customs that they had brought with them from their country of origin, while at the same time integrating into American culture and creating new ethnic identities here in the United States. And one of the areas, or one of the ways in which they tried to balance these two desires was through participation in sport. And this could include sports like boxing, it could include sports like baseball, and it could include, of course, a sport like soccer. And that was the case for immigrants who arrived in the United States from Spain during the period of the 1920s. And on today's episode, I'm going to talk a little bit about how these Spanish immigrants tried to use soccer to retain their traditional identities, those that they had brought with them from Spain, and at the same time, how they used soccer to try to create new American ethnic identities, and also how they tried to integrate into American culture and society. Spanish residents had lived in New York City for many years, dating back as far as the 18th century, if not any earlier. There never really was a very large population of Spanish immigrants to the United States or to New York City in particular, especially when compared to other Europeans like Italians or Irish, or even groups that we may not think of as having very large numbers like Hungarians or Austrians. So there was never really more than about 20 or 30,000 Spanish-born residents of New York City at any one point. These immigrants, although they were relatively small in number compared to other groups, they, like Spanish immigrants to other countries like Cuba and Uruguay and Mexico, they formed societies and organizations designed to provide the community with certain sorts of benefits. So these could be mutual aid societies. They might provide insurance, health insurance, or life insurance. They might provide repatriation funds and that sort of thing. There were societies that were what we might call Spanish societies that were open to everyone. And then there were other organizations and associations that were based on the region of origin within Spain, there were groups in New York formed based on the regions of Galicia, of Asturias, of Cantabria, and of the Basque region, as well as several others. This is these regions are mainly located in the northern part of Spain, and this is where the largest number of immigrants came from. So, for instance, from Galicia alone, which is the province in the northwestern part of Spain, just north of Portugal, about one third of all immigrants to New York came from Galicia, of Spanish immigrants to New York came from Galicia alone. Now, these associations, they rented or constructed buildings, halls for the staging of various kinds of events. And these societies were kind of the cultural center of these communities. So they hosted dinners and banquets. They would host literary events, art exhibitions, dances. They would put on musical shows. And, of course, they sponsored, eventually, soccer clubs. The earliest known team is the Spanish Athletic Club of Manhattan from about 1912. A couple of years later, a side called the Spanish American Football Club was participating in the New York State Amateur League Second Division. And Spanish American Football Club would eventually become Hispano Football Club, which we'll talk about in a little bit. by 1922, interest had grown so much that the community was able to create its own league, called the Spanish American Soccer League. It was organized in 1922 and began play in 1923. There were 11 teams, and they included in the first division, the teams were Barcelona Football Club, Colpe American, Galicia Sporting Club, Hispano Football Club, Segura Sporting Club, and Vasco Football Club. All of those were from Spain or from Spanish societies. There were also a number of other clubs, the Chile Sporting Club, the Europa Football Club, Goyan Football Club, Imperio Football Club, and Portugal Sporting Club. Many of these clubs also had junior teams or B-sides as well as the main senior club. These teams also competed for the Everlast Cup, and this was a tournament held between teams from New York and New Jersey, Spanish and Portuguese and other Spanish-speaking teams from New York and New Jersey competed for this trophy that was donated by the sporting goods firm Everlast. By 1925, the league had grown to include more than 15 teams, and there were, again, many of these newcomers were also Spanish societies or Spanish clubs. There was España Football Club, there was Sardinero Football Club, there was El Club Coruña, and Centro Asturiano. There were others, one from Peru and one from Argentina. The newspaper La Prensa, which was the probably the most widely read Spanish language newspaper in the city, had commissioned a beautiful marble and gold statue to award to the league champion every year. And so soccer, by this point, the middle of the 1920s, was hugely popular within the Spanish community. At one point, La Prensa organized a competition where readers could send in or vote for their favorite player, favorite of the Spanish-born or of Spanish descent player in the league. And at the end of the contest, more than 31,000 votes had been cast on behalf of 37 players on 14 different clubs. So it was an enormously popular event and shows just how important soccer was to the cultural life of the community. By the way, the winner was F. Gonzalez, and I don't know, couldn't find what his first name was. He won, among other things, a cigarette case and a Swiss watch. The growth of Spanish soccer in New York also paralleled in many ways the growth of the sport in both Spain and in the United States. Of course, the American Soccer League had been formed in 1921, just a year before the Spanish American League was organized. This period also saw many foreign clubs come into the city and play before huge crowds. So clubs from Austria, from Scotland, from Czechoslovakia all made appearances in the city and attracted crowds of tens of thousands of people. When a team based largely on the Uruguayan national team visited in 1927, there were all sorts of banquets, and there were speeches by diplomats, and this was one of the major happenings in the Spanish community of that year. Also in September of 1927, Real Madrid came to the city at the end of a playing tour that had taken them into South America and Mexico, and they played Galicia Sporting Club, and the match ended in a 1-1 draw. The one newspaper report said that the 5,000 people who witnessed the match left wondering, wow, how good are they in Spain anyway? The Spanish community then used these events, like the visit of the Uruguayan team or the visit of Real Madrid and other professional Spanish teams, they used these to reconnect and to reaffirm those links with Spain and with other Spanish-speaking countries. In addition to the visits of international clubs, some New York clubs also took tours to, again, reestablish or to reaffirm and reconnect with their countrymen in distant cities and even countries. So, for instance, in 1926, in February, Galicia Sporting Club went to Cuba and they played various Spanish-based sides. Also in that year, they visited Philadelphia, where they sang songs and they danced traditional Spanish dances. And again, they had football matches with Spanish clubs from that city. Now, these visits were obviously very popular and important in a cultural sense. They were not without their problems. However, Juan Gallego, the president of Galicia Sporting Club, after he got back from Cuba, was complaining about the heat and complaining about the biased referees, and also complaining that the club didn't receive as much money as they had hoped for on the tour. Galicia Sporting Club even had organized or had made plans for an even more ambitious tour. In 1927, they announced that they had begun preparations for a playing tour in Spain, and it would reportedly cost around $80,000 in 1927 money, which is around $1 million in today's currency. It seems, though, ultimately that the trip never went off for a variety of reasons. Despite all the successes, the growth of the league, the popularity of international touring teams, and even Galicia's own national and international touring plans, the situation of soccer in the Spanish community was not without its problems. Some of the teams had left the LHA. In fact, two of the most powerful and probably the most successful clubs, Galicia and Hispano, had both left the LHA to participate in broader metropolitan leagues. And Galicia, for instance, won the International League a couple of times during this period. Hispano even was making plans to perhaps petition to join the American Soccer League. One of the biggest issues that arose within the community was difficulties or concerns about what were often called foreign players. These were not necessarily foreign-born players, but rather they were players not of Spanish descent. So, for instance, one of Galicia's regular lineups might have included names like Jackson, Murphy, McChesney, Gallagher, Forsyth, McNamara, and Finlay, not exactly of Spanish descent. When Sardinero Football Club was formed in 1925, the newspaper La Prensa quoted the captain of the team as saying, "I would prefer to go out and lose every game rather than leave out players of our own race in favor of foreigners. The squad that I captain is named in Spanish, and as a result will be composed of our people. If we didn't have this intention, we would have called it Can of Sardines." And the quote was in Spanish, obviously, but that last part was in English. Another illustration of just how controversial the issue of non-Spanish speaking players on these clubs was in a cartoon, kind of a satirical cartoon that was published in the paper. And it said, the title of the cartoon was "One of the Many Spanish Clubs Around Here." And it showed a bunch of figures standing dressed in their soccer kit with their cleats on. But if you looked closely, all of them were drawn to represent different nationalities and different racial stereotypes. So there was an African-American figure, there was a Native American figure complete with a feathered headdress, there was an individual wearing a monocle and a top hat, presumably meant to be English, there was a what I took to be a German with one of those pointy helmets, and a dark-haired man carrying a sheaf of spaghetti, presumably meant to represent an Italian. So the joke, I suppose, was that these are Spanish clubs, even though they don't have any Spaniards playing for them. Eventually, the newspaper La Prensa initiated a kind of a public dialogue, and they asked for people to write in and answer several questions to kind of gauge opinion about the league. And La Prensa's goal here, and the goal of many of the respondents, perhaps not surprisingly, was that they felt as though soccer was supposed to be a sport organized and designed to improve Spanish athletes, to be a source of pride for the Spanish community, and that the inclusion of so many non-Spanish players really weakened those essential goals. Letter writers said that they should eliminate all foreign players from the league, or I shouldn't say eliminate, but not allow foreign players in the league. Other respondents said maybe what we need to do is to create just a single Spanish club rather than all of these different ones. Another guy suggested the creation or the construction of an Estadio Hispano, which would be a special stadium that would host visiting clubs from Spanish-speaking countries, could host boxing matches, and could kind of be a central physical space for the performance of these different identities. There were other sorts of problems as well. There were personal rivalries between the leaderships of various organizations. There were organizational rivalries, especially between Hispano and Galicia. Many Galicians believed that they were looked down upon by other members of the Spanish community, and this was something that was commonly felt in Spanish immigrant enclaves around the world, in places like Argentina and Mexico as well. There were rivalries on the field. These were two of the better Spanish clubs. And for instance, after a particularly heated match between the two organizations, the captain of the Hispano club said that they were going to boycott and they weren't going to play against Galicia anymore because they felt like the fans had been too rude. And this created a kind of kerfuffle that was played out in the pages of the press. Another issue was the violence of the game. Soccer was a much more violent game during this period, both on the field and as well as spectators. Several of the Uruguayan team's games during their 1927 tour of the United States were canceled after pitch invasions halted play. In 1929, there was a cup match between Galicia and the German-Hungarian team, and it was pretty rough and tumble. And eventually, one of the players for the German-Hungarians was attacked and punched. And the New York Times sort of breathlessly reported that after this melee kind of broke out between the two teams and between members of the crowd who had rushed to the field, the New York Times said, "It fell to a woman with a shrill voice and a parasol wielded with determination to nip in the bud what promised to be a near riot." The newspaper La Prensa also said that it seemed like an armed force was needed to control crowds at Spanish league games. There was also an incident in which a referee was attacked and he suffered, among other injuries, several broken ribs. So it was a violent game, and authorities were having difficulties controlling the action. As a result of these complications, the disagreements, the rivalries, the violence, by the end of 1928, the league was virtually over. Soccer in the city would not disappear. I should say Spanish soccer in the city would not disappear. But as a result of these problems, the league had virtually collapsed by the end of the decade. There were also other problems that the community was facing. Immigration laws had been changed several times over the course of the 1920s, and this severely limited the number of new arrivals from Spain. So, for example, the 1924 law set the quota, meaning that they would only allow in 131 persons from Spain. We also have, of course, the onset of the Great Depression after 1929, which, among other things, contributed to the collapse of the American Soccer League. So as a result of all of these problems, many of the societies who had organized clubs were forced to close their doors or to merge into one collective society. And although some of them would reform, it really spelled the end of this sort of golden age of Spanish soccer in the city. Thank you for listening to the Soccer History USA podcast. For episode notes, please visit the website at www.soccerhistoryusa.org and follow me on Twitter at @soccerhistoryus.
No, 56. 86.